Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's call on Thursday, the 13th day of the month of Tishrei. And always, thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their continued support, and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That is ou.org/call. And please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to introduce Rabbi Ilan Siegelman, Mora d'Asra of Kehillat Torah Tamima in Flushing, New York, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Siegelman slowly reciting our daily four chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 20, 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishaberach L'cholim and Achenu. We will conclude this call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Siegelman to learn more about his wonderful community in Queens. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, the Chavod, with great honor, Rabbi Siegelman.
Thank you, Rabbi Herman. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you all for coming together to listen to Chizuk and to recite Tehillim and Mishaber for all the Cholim. Be'ezus Hashem, it should be a tzchus for Refuah Shleimah for all of Am Yisrael. Over the Yomim Noraim, we've all experienced a really, hopefully, an uplifting davening on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And now, we often ask our neighbors and our friends, how was the davening, especially this year, where the shuls found themselves in a number of different interesting situations, having to set up multiple minyanim indoors and outdoors. So people are interested and intrigued by what shuls were doing, and often the question is, how was your davening? How was your Yomim Noraim experience? Some people respond, it was lovely, it was beautiful, the Baal Tefillah was a wonderful voice, the Ruach was nice. But some people respond, and I think it's a fairly common response, people say, I don't know, you'll have to ask me next year. Let's see what the year brings, and then I'll tell you how successful my Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur was. And this approach makes a lot of sense. You know, we don't know the power of our davening until later. We will only be able to tell how successful the year was when the year is over. And as I said, it's a common approach, it's a common response that people often have. But I do want to point out a danger in such a response, because it implies that when we daven on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so we cry our heart out, we pour out all of our heart and our tears to Hashem, and we beg Him that we have a prosperous and successful year. But then it also implies that when we finish Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, we close our machzor, we take a step back, and we let nature take its course. Let's see how the davening was, and we'll only see at the end of next year. However, it's clear from various sources in the Talmud and the Gemara that we have the power to overturn an evil decree. The Gemara tells us that a tzaddik, a righteous person, has the ability to overturn a decree. And we're all familiar with the famous line that we all scream out in shul at the end of Unisana Tokef, with tshuva, with repentance, and tefillah, prayer, and tzedakah, charity, we can overturn the evil decree. So it's very clear that our engagement in mitzvos, in living a life dedicated to Hashem and His Torah, we have the ability to change the trajectory of our lives in an extremely positive way. And I want to bring a proof. I want to prove to you all that Hashem loves mitzvot. Hashem loves when we carry out His will. He loves nothing more. And the Medrash is a very fascinating one, apropos to these days in between Yom HaKippurim and Sukkot. The Medrash tells us in Parshas Emor that the 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot are days of tremendous joy in Hashem's eyes. So much so that Hashem doesn't even consider the averos, the transgressions, which may be carried out during these days. He shows a blind eye. And the Medrash picks up on the words in reference to taking the lulav. Ulakachtem lechem b'yom harishon, that we take the lulav on the first day of Sukkos. This year at Shabbos, but typically we take the lulav on the first day, and the Torah refers to it as the Yom Rishon. And the Midrash says, Yom Rishon lecheshbon avonos. It's the first day of the calculation of avonos, of one's averos. Meaning to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem only considers the averos beginning on Sukkot. In between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, those days are freebies, so to speak. Why is that? Why do we have this window of time that Hashem doesn't even consider our averos? And the answer is because Hashem is so happy and thrilled and ecstatic by our engagement in mitzvos. Immediately after Yom Kippur, we begin building our sukkah and buying our lulav and our esrog, and we're cooking for Yontif, and we're involved in the preparations for the Chag HaSukkos, for the Zman Simchaseinu, and Hashem mirrors that simcha. And the way that he expresses his simcha is by ignoring all transgressions, allowing Klal Yisrael, allowing Am Yisrael, his people, to be engaged in mitzvos in preparation for the Yontif. And I believe if we consider the days that we're in, these 4 days between Yom HaKippurim and Sukkot, the days where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is overjoyed, we have to take this opportunity to seize the moment to be engaged in mitzvot, to carry out Hashem's will, not only in mitzvot, bein adam l'makom, between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also bein adam l'chavero, ourselves and our fellow brethren, to do everything that we can to generate schusim, merits, to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to show Hashem how happy we are to be part of the Jewish people, how privileged we are to have His Torah and His mitzvos. And our hope and our prayer is that carrying out mitzvos, carrying out a life dedicated to Torah and to mitzvos, will show Hashem how happy we are to be Jewish. He will be as happy as we are, and not, if not, if probably even more. And He will, if there was, chas v'shalom, any evil decree, He will choose to shift us in the other direction, to bring us to a path full of life, chayim tovim, and be'ezras Hashem, it is our prayer now that we should only have simcha as we approach the zman simchaseinu, the days of happiness and joy. We should only have nachas, we should only have bracha, a life full of blessings, remembering that we are so privileged to be Hashem's people, to be privileged to be the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Torah and the mitzvot. We will now begin the recitation of Tehillim, beginning with Perek Chof, chapter 20. L'menatzeach mizmor l'David, yancho Adonai b'yom tzaro, yisagev choshem Elohei Yaakov. Yishlach ezrecho mikodesh, umitzion yisadeko. Yizkor kol minchosecho v'lasecho yidash neselo. Yitein lecho kilavavecho v'chol asosecho yimalei. Nirenu no v'shu asecho v'shem Elohini nigdo. Yimalei adunoi kol mishalo yisecho. Ato yodati ki yoshi adunem mishicho. Yaneu mishmei kodcho v'gburos yesha yimino. Ela berecha v'ela basusim, anachnu b'shem adivnoi Eloheinu naskir. Hei mokoro v'nafol v'nachnu kamnu v'nisvaidod. Adoinoi hoshio ha-melech yaneinu v'yoim koreinu. Perek Chaf Gimel, chapter 23. Mizmor leDavid Adonai Elohim lo yechsar. Pinos deshe yarbitzeini amei menuchosin aleini. Napshi yeshoyev yancheini b'mavgalei tzedek leman shemo. Gam ki eilich b'gei tzalmoves lo yiroro ki ato imadi shiftecho mishantecho heimu yenach amuni. Taroch lefanai shulcha neged tzorerai Tishanta b'shemen roshi kosi rivayo. Ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni koyim echayoi v'shavti b'beis adoino elioi rech yomim. Perek Kuf Chaf Aleph 121. Shir l'malo sesoy noyel heori meyayin yavo yezri. Ezri mim adoino yoyse shomayim voretz. Al yitein lamoit raglecho al yonum shamirecho. Hinei lo yonum elo yishon shomer Yisroel. Adonai shomirecho adonai tzilcho ayad yiminecho. Yoimam ha-shemesh lo yakeko v'yoreach v'laylo. Adonai yishmorecho mikoro yishmores nafshecho. Adonai yishmor tzitzcho v'yecho mi'ato v'yadolam. Finally, Perek Kuflamid 130, chapter 130. Shir ha-malos mimam akim kirasicho adonai. Adonai shimo b'koili. Tieno iznecho kashuvo izlekol tachanunoi. Im avoinoi istishmoryo adoinoi mi yamoid. Ki imcho aslicho leman tivorei. Ki visi adoinoi kifso nafshi vilidvoro chalti. Nafshi l'adonai mishomerim l'boiker, shomerim l'boiker. Yachel Yisrael el adonai, ki im adonai yachesed v'harbei moi vidus. Ve'hu yifdes Yisrael mikol avanosav. We will now continue with the Mishnah Berach v'cholim. Everyone is encouraged to mention the names of the Holy Israel as they pause. Mishaberech Avoseinu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov Moshe Aaron David Shlomo Hu Yivarech V'Yirape Es HaCholim. Bavur shekol hakol yitein utzako bavuram. Bishar ze hakadosh baruch hu yemalei rachamim aleihem. Lachvimam ulrapusam ulachsikam ulachayosam. Vishlach lahem mehira rufuah shleima min hashamayim. Lachol ibrahim v'chol gideim b'soch sharcho liyisrael. Rufuah hanefesh v'rufuah haguf. Hashto bagalo v'zman koriv v'nomar amein. We will now conclude with the recitation of Achenu. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, hanesunim betzaro v'shivyo, ha'umdim bein bayom uvein bayavosho, ha'makom yirachem aleihem, v'yotzeh mitzaro lirvacho, u'mafilo liyoro, u'mishibud legeulo, hashto bagalo v'zman koriv, v'nomar amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Siegelman. I also want to thank you for the speed at which you read the Tehillim, as well as the long pause during the Mishnah Berach. I know that our callers always appreciate it when it's a little bit slower and there's an opportunity to be able to insert all of those who we're davening for, because they always let me know when we don't. So I appreciate you going at it at a slower speed. So as we transition to the next portion of our call, let's start off with how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Baruch Hashem, thank God, everyone is good. We have as a kehillah, not just as a family, but as a kehillah, we have successfully completed Yomim Noraim. You know, we've Rosh Hashanah, Baruch Hashem, was successful, Yom Kippur as well, and now we're on full speed planning for Sukkot.
Unbelievable. We'll get to that in a moment. I want to hear more about what the shul is doing. But just to give us and to orient us and give us a little bit of, if you could give us a background of the shul. I know it's a fairly new shul, the last few years in Queens and Flushing. If you could give us some background, just an overview. I think Queens everyone knows, but you never know. Maybe there's someone on the call who's not as familiar with Queens. You could give us a little background of the neighborhood as well, but of course, of the shul itself.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're in Queens in Kew Gardens Hills. And Baruch Hashem, they say that Eretz Yisrael lacks nothing. Sometimes you feel that Queens lacks nothing. You have Main Street and any restaurant, any store, anything, any flavor, it's all available. And Baruch Hashem, the same thing is true with shuls and with yeshivas. We have a number of yeshivas, a number of shuls. My shul specifically is geared towards the young professionals, young couples, young singles, who about 3 or 4 years ago, we found there was a need in the community to create a shul that would cater to the needs of the younger generation. And we really started from nothing. And in a year, we had a membership of 100 families, and then the next year, 150,
wow.
Baruch Hashem, and that's really where we're holding now. Corona set us back a little bit. A lot of the young families that were anticipating moving in the near future found themselves locked into a two-bedroom apartment, and they figured, hey, that the interest rates are low. We're going to be moving anyway, so let's get a move on it. And they did. But Baruch Hashem, we've seen a tremendous influx of new people coming into the community. They moved in the summer. Some of them we are only getting to meet now because people are coming out of their homes now. And it's a really phenomenal experience to come to shul with a lot of young people, vibrant community, people who are excited to get involved in the shul. And that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to allow for the community, a warm community, a loving community, to embrace as many people as are in the community. And we've had a very positive experience up until now, and Mr. Shem, to go on for many more years.
Amazing. Prior to my wife and I moving down to Florida, to Boca Raton, we actually lived in Kew Gardens Hills and Lahavdil, Eretz Yisrael. But I was thinking as you were saying it, and it's funny, last night, just popped into my head, we were thinking about prior to Sukkot, we always enjoyed, we'd walk up and down Main Street. It kind of gave us a little bit of that feeling of, again, Lahavdil, but of being back in Eretz Yisrael, of walking to the shuk of Mei Sharm and Lula, seeing all of the tables out and the lulavim and araminos. So it was a truly wonderful experience.
This year it's the same. Maybe it's a little bit more subdued, but there are masks and social distancing, I think. And you can take a walk on Main Street and you will not walk four steps without being asked to, if you want to buy a set, would you like to purchase Dalad Minim? There's plenty of sellers for sukkahs, lulavim, and esrogim, and sukkahs, and sukkah decorations. It's all there. It's all there, even during Corona. Pretty vibrant Main Street.
I want to pick up on something you just mentioned prior. We know that there are portions of Queens that are transient. We'll have young couples, young families who will start there temporarily and then look to move like we did ourselves. Where have you been seeing these young families move? Are they mostly staying in the tri-state? Are they going, quote-unquote, out of town?
The truth is we have a few balabatim, a few families that moved to Florida recently. A few of them, actually. We have two or three that moved to Boca not too long ago. We have two, over the past year, we have two or three that moved to Atlanta. For the most part, though, the majority of the families that are leaving, they're going to places like West Hempstead, Fairlawn, New Jersey, Bergenfield. And sometimes the five towns, Woodmere, Cedarhurst. That's the majority of the families that are leaving. But some go to more you know, exotic places out of the tri-state area. The daring ones, they leave the tri-state area. They leave the New York, New Jersey area. So, but
right.
I would say West Hampton.
Well?
I think West Hampton. We had a couple last year that moved to Heritage Row, but not recently. Not recently, I don't think.
Okay.
Maybe I have to change up my drushes. Maybe I have to add a few more lines about moving to Eretz Yisrael.
That's certainly not a bad thing. So that's actually a good segue for us, because there have been a lot of changes, and you've spoken about how, you know, maybe this year families took advantage of those interest rates and other families moving in. So we're seeing a lot of changes from the most obvious ones of social distancing and the masks and rabbis and communal leadership being incredibly innovative and creative and how to go about setting up shul and checking in and being there for their bala batim. But thinking about your own shul, but as well as perhaps the broader Jewish community, what communal changes do you anticipate as we look forward towards the future?
I honestly think that in general, shiurim, the dynamics of public lectures will be different. I don't know. I mean, I hope, because I really, in-person learning and in-person teaching is very different than Zoom. But I do think that the rabbinate as a whole will have to recognize that Zoom is very convenient. And what would never have been thought of, you know, we would never have thought to plan a shiur for the shul on Zoom, might now enter the minds of programming, you know, whether it's religious programming or other types of programming. We're shifting to this virtual platform, and we had to do it. And Baruch Hashem, many people were very successful, and many people realized that the attendance started going up when they realized that we're catering to many more people, and the attendance did thankfully rise. More people were engaged. More people were involved in shiurim and other shul activities they wouldn't have otherwise been in attendance. So that's definitely something that the community as a whole has to prepare for. I myself have been asked by a number of different organizations to speak for them on Zoom. And some of them I would have accepted. Some of them, I've spoken recently in Chicago and Los Angeles and places that I would have had to fly out. Miami, I would have had to fly out. And now I'm speaking virtually. So there's a lot of good. There's a lot of good. And I hope that it will be received on the listener's end, and it will only increase the amount of Limud HaTorah and involvement, Jewish involvement, and not decrease it.
Absolutely. And so you began by sharing with us that the Tzibor, the Kehillah, got through Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, again being creative and working through all the multiple logistical challenges. So here we are, tomorrow's Erev Sukkot, Erev Shabbos. Thinking now, I don't know if everything is solidified in your community yet, but could you share with us what's the plan for Sukkot, and if you've even gotten to the point of really thinking out of the box in terms of Simchas Torah?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's an excellent question. This year, our shul purchased a bigger sukkah. We've had a sukkah in the past, but we purchased an even bigger one. Primarily because there are a number of families that are living in apartment buildings who, given the circumstances, are not able to go home or to go to their parents, their in-laws, their friends for Yom Tov, their home, and many find themselves without a sukkah. In addition, there's an apartment building, there's a complex right across from the shul, Dara Gardens, which typically in years past has built their own sukkah. This year they will not be building a sukkah. So there are so many of our members who are in for Sukkot and Sukkahless. So we therefore invested in a much larger sukkah to accommodate more of our membership to utilize the sukkah. And I just saw a finalized version that the board sent a sign-up sheet that people are going to sign up for different slots to utilize the sukkah. So we shouldn't have too many people in at one time. And people will be able to eat their sukkos, albeit quick, but they'll be able to eat in the sukkah. and make room for other people and other families, and hopefully we'll all be able to eat in the sukkah safely. And that's what we're doing in terms of sukkahs. I hope, and I really hope that people will be able to avail themselves of this opportunity. And Simchas Torah is going to be tricky. Simchas Torah, as I said to someone, I think we're going to find ourselves dancing instead of, holding hands and with each other. We're going to dance between us and Hashem. It's going to be a special intimate rikida, an intimate dancing, an intimate singing between us and Hashem. Hopefully in Shul, the children aren't going to be coming like they used to. So we have people setting up, little peklach, little children goodie bags to be picked up before Yontif, so the children can feel like they're a part of the Yontif. And I think the board is planning on something like that for the adults as well, some type of drive-by, some type of picking up a Yontif goodie bag with some gifts and some treats for the adults as well. We're trying to make it as simchadik as possible. It's bizman simcha seinu. We should have the utmost amount of simcha, even amidst the trying and really confusing and difficult times.
Certainly so, but it does sound like the shul, the community, has a great plan in place. And we certainly hope that it all comes to fruition and works out really well. Rabbi Siegelman, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community, as they are with the whole Klal Yisrael and of the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillot, the prayers of you and your community, for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need be answered with tova, for good. And may the Rabbonish Olam, the Master of the World, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for words of inspiration from my wonderful colleague, Rabbi Abi Heller, who is the New Jersey and Rockland County Regional Director for the Orthodox Union. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.